Natalie, I must say, first of all, it's been an amazing experience to come to Riverland Special School quite a few times over the last 3 or 4 years. And every time I walk in, I just get amazed by the school, the staff, the students, and yourself. I just think it's just such a wonderful place to be. And we're going to get into a bit more about the school through our interview here today. But first of all, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your background and how you got into teaching. And then how you came to be at Riverland Special School.
Thanks, Ash, and just want to say it's wonderful having you in our school multiple times, and we've been very fortunate to have you come in and support our students and work with our staff. So thank you for your time.
Very kind.
My journey in special ed started when I was in high school. I did a bit of work experience and was always interested in young people with disabilities and working with them. I decided that I was going to go and study in that area, and I ended up studying the only undergraduate special ed degree in Australia at the time, which was in Griffith University at Griffith University in Brisbane. So I actually moved to Brisbane, being a South Australian girl. Did my study up there, came out and worked in a special school in Brisbane for the start of my teaching career, and really, really enjoyed that. Special school wasn't necessarily something that I had within my scope when I was going through university. However, when I started teaching, I loved it, and it was my place. I then met my husband, and we got married and moved back to South Australia. And since I've been in South Australia, I have worked in some mainstream schools and then got a job as a teacher at the Riverland Special School. It started to do some leadership within the Riverland Special School, which was just creating curriculum programs and doing a few other things. And then got the opportunity to actually be the principal at Kingston on Murray Primary School. So I went there for 5 years, which was a beautiful small school. And got the opportunity then to apply to come back to the Riverland Special School as the principal, and I won that job. And this is my 6th year here. So that was 5 years ago, and my tenure's just been rolled over. So that's a bit of my background as to how I ended up where I am right now.
It's a great story. I didn't realize that you actually went up to Brisbane. I knew you're from South Australia, but I didn't realize you went up to Brisbane and studied. And well done on the 10-year extension. That's a great achievement. And with the Riverland Special School, as I mentioned before, I've been there a few times now, and it's a fantastic place to be. It's actually based in Berry in the Riverland in South Australia. So where do students actually come from? How far have you got students that travel to the school? What's the furthest distance?
Yeah, so we're the only special school in the Riverland area. So we've got students that come from Wakery, from Paringa, out in the Mallee, Loxton, Renmark, and then obviously from Berry. So all around the Riverland that travel to school every single day to come here.
Yeah, great. And from, I guess, from the well-being point of view. So, how do you, or not necessarily a well-being point of view, but how does a student get to be at Riverland Special School? How do they become eligible to be at the school? And what's the process?
So most of our students that are eligible to be at the Riverland Special School have a diagnosed intellectual disability, or multiple disabilities. And so that could be intellectual disability with autism, could be Down syndrome. Some of our students have Rett syndrome. Some of our students have all sorts of, other disabilities that come into play. But the core thing is an intellectual disability. When they're younger, sometimes that's referred to as a global developmental delay. But generally, most of our students have that formal diagnosis in place to be eligible for our setting.
Interesting. And I know that it doesn't stop just at the school. I know that you play a big role in your staff help students after they finish school. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I guess part of school is, and particularly for our school, because we cater for students from reception through to year 12, and so our job is to ensure that we're creating pathways for students, that we're building their capacity, that we're supporting them to be as independent as possible, so that they can be positive community members in the future, and they can have a positive post-school pathway as well. And future pathway. So we do that in a number of ways, and lots of that is about that connection to community and families and working together to support those pathway planning processes.
So what are those, I guess, the more common pathways that once a student does finish school, what do they often go out and do in the world?
Oh, look, that really actually depends on the student, to be completely honest with you, Ash. Like any other student from any other school, they have their interest areas, they have their skill areas and their capabilities. And so we might have some students that transition into school leavers education support programs. They might transition into some work programs. They might transition into day options programs. It just, yeah, really depends on what the student would like to do, and then working with the family to support those pathways as best we can.
That's brilliant. I know that takes a fair bit of work on the school's behalf as well. So that's a fantastic, I guess, thing that you do for the students and their families. And I guess just moving on to the, I get the well-being side. So how do you, with I guess at the school, how do you first of all define and approach well-being for students with additional needs or intellectual disabilities?
I think well-being for our school, which has been a really big focus over the last few years, really encompasses our students feeling that this is a place of safety for them, that they are connected, that it's a real community, and that it's a place where they're going to be provided with everything that they need to support them in multiple aspects of their life. Because well-being is an all-encompassing thing around how they feel about themselves, and how well then they're connected within their community in which they are. And so we pride ourselves on being that real connected community for our students.
And I guess, is there anything in particular that you do to make sure that happens?
Look, I think there's lots of things that we do to make sure that happens, Ash. And you address the fact of coming into our school and feeling like everybody's there for our students. And I think that that's probably, step number one is that culture sits there where we are here about we and we are all about the students. Where our staff greet our students every single morning with unconditional positive regard, and they would have 20 to 30 hellos and smiles, high fives, and that positive reinforcement every single morning when they enter this school. And that, is probably, aspect number one of how we build well-being for our students is that they know what it's going to look like every single day, the structure and the routine's there, but they know everybody around them is there to support them and help them.
Oh, do you know, funny you say, I was smiling when you said that because it's so, yeah, when you go there, that stands out. Like when you get there at the start of the more like day, you've got students who've arrived by car or bus or however they come, and the teachers are actually waiting for like the students, and they come off the bus or the car coming out of the car, and all the staff are there to say hello, say hello back, to say hello back. And you can just tell, like, and the kids love it, or the students love it. And I remember, like, and it goes both ways because the students really welcome the teachers and say hello to the teachers. And I remember being in the hall, which they kind of walk through, is a bit of a walkway as well. And like, I have my back to the students, and you hear like morning Ash, like in a real like positive way, and it, like lifts you straight away. And they know my name, and like because I don't go over there every day, like. But they know my name, and it gives you a buzz yourself. Like it's really a great thing, and they—I don't know—like it's just such a wonderful feeling, and you can see it in the students as well. Like they're so, I guess not all, probably not always, but majority of time they're very respectful to each other and the teachers. And it's just such a fun like environment to be. So well done to you and your staff on building that.
Yeah, thank you. And I think for us, that's also our way of connecting very closely with the students at the mor in the morning. So myself and my deputy principal, Amy, we already know who's had a good morning prior to coming to school. We've already got a bit of a feeling around who's going to, potentially have a successful day, who might need a little bit of a break in the mornings. And often we'll then, follow down that student down into the school if we're a little bit concerned about how they've presented just in that, 10 seconds of greeting in the mornings. We get a sense of actually where their well-being is for the day and what that looks like prior to even entering the classrooms. So we can then engage with the teaching staff who are waiting in the classrooms who are going to do exactly the same thing when they walk in every single classroom. But they will know that we've sort of indicated that perhaps a young person might need a little bit more time or support in that morning, and they're able to provide that straight away to really set them up for a positive day. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, I guess I guess that's just a bit of time as well to work out or get to know the student as well. So you can actually visually see, or maybe you can hear some things that will indicate maybe they're not at their best that particular morning. And I guess is that fair to say? Is that a bit of a practice in getting to know the student initially?
Yeah, I think it's definitely about building relationships, but our students realistically, they, as I said before, they like that routine and that structure. So I can tell if someone's just a bit hesitant to get off of the bus, or I say good morning and I don't get the same response that I would normally get from them. And we have that sense of where they're at. Sometimes it's that. It's those, it's not even about how they verbally respond to, it's actually just about their body language on that morning, and we've got a really clear indication as to how they're tracking for that day.
Yeah, interesting. And I guess with your staff, like what sort of routines or practical strategies do your staff use to support students, like with emotional regulation or a sense of safety? So they might come in, like as you mentioned, you can tell they're maybe not at their best. What are some of those strategies? Or maybe just give them some time, or is there certain things that you and the staff do?
Yeah, so lots of one-on-one, really. Like if we've got somebody who's entering the school and they've had a little bit of a moment, we don't think that we think that they might need a little bit of time. Definitely giving them that I spoke about unconditional positive regard. So that is that time for them to talk about what's happening, giving them the option of having a break, and it might be a little bit earlier in the day that they would normally before you're expecting them to come in and start to learn, because they're obviously not ready to learn at that point. In each of the classrooms, particularly in those morning sessions and pretty much after every single break in the day, there's structures in place for the teaching staff to really have a little bit of a barometer around where the student's at. And so, for instance, in my junior primary classes and primary classes, there's a big element of feelings and talking about feelings in the mornings and recognizing feelings. As we get into our senior and our sorry our secondary and our senior classes, we have lots of ready to learn, and so they can indicate how they're feeling in that morning, and therefore whether or not they're actually ready to start the day, or if there's some strategies that need to put in place to support them prior to starting the day. And some of those, where there's a myriad here, depending on the student and depending on what happens, what works well for them to be able to support them in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, you mentioned about like talking about emotions and feelings. So I guess my next question like is it kind of builds on from that. So with those diverse like learning needs and I guess specific well-being or positive education, whatever term you want to use, like skills specifically, like is there ways in the classroom that you really try to build those, I guess those skills, like whether that's feelings or gratitude practice or empathy practice, those more explicit teaching around the well-being concepts, does that happen, or is it more come through, I guess, feedback that teachers give the students around behaviour or whatever that might be. How do you approach that?
Yeah, so it's probably two different things for us in there. There's some explicit teaching around, those areas of kindness, and then we build resilience into that teaching and learning as well. And that's very much in a social lens. And so that teaching is about how we get along with others and how we share with others and how we include others and how we socialize appropriately with others, and what sits behind all of that. And that real, some of that is individualized learning, and it is based on how that individuals communicate with each other and engage with each other. And then you've got some explicit teaching that happens in the space of I guess regulation for students is a big one that we really work on, and that's individualized strategies on how my body feels and what my body's doing, and then what can I put into place at the times in which my own body is not feeling okay, to provide that support for where I'm at, rather than not being able to communicate that and then sort of becoming dysregulated and showing some behaviors that may not be appropriate for the schooling environment, because obviously then that resonates out into the community as they get older as well. So I think there's some really key work that goes into play in regards to that teaching and learning for students in both of those areas, that when they're in the senior classes start to come together as one, and really, build that understanding both of myself, but then also of others around me as well. Because what we want is for students to leave school with an understanding of that, and feeling, very positive about how they are in the world as a community member, and being really successful as community members.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I mean, you mentioned about, I guess, working toward together and like work, helping each other out. I remember one of the I was giving an instruction. I can't remember what it was, but it was giving an instruction about one of the activities we were doing recently. And one of the boys, the old, I think the senior boys or two senior boys were paired up. One like understood what I was like, got the concept of what I or the instructions, but the other one didn't, and he was able to put it in like words that the other boy could understand, and he got it. Oh yeah, I got it. So it's amazing how they know each other and they can help each other out. It was really impressive. It really stood out.
And I think, we've talked about well-being and we've talked about community. I think that one of the amazing things that we see in our school is that everybody's acceptance of each other is so high. Everybody's acceptance of what the other person brings to the table, and they just support each other in the best way possible so that everyone can be successful. And again, when we're talking about well-being, that's a huge thing.
Absolutely. So with resources at the school, resources and I guess facilities, what how do you and when I say resources, I mean I guess physical resources within the classrooms that can help support the students, as well as facilities like rooms, like sensory rooms, and the like. And I guess the staff. How does it work with maybe ratio working with the students? Like, is it one teacher to six students, or something like that? And yeah, some of the facilities and I guess those resources that really help the students.
So we've been over the last 5 years been very intentional about building resourcing within the school and creating environments for not only our students to be able to learn and to thrive and to be safe, but our staff also to then be able to support them to do that. And we're very lucky in that our school is structured that off from each classroom there is internal and external sort of withdrawal spaces that can be used to support regulation, but well-being for students. There's safe areas that students can have breaks. And then over the last few years, we've developed that next step around actually having functional and appropriate play spaces for students that can do the same thing. We've also, and I know you've seen it, created some sensory rooms, which really help and support students, and implemented some resourcing in there which is appropriate, and very and had a great lot of thought in it around what do our students need at a time in which they might be, starting to feel a bit dysregulated and need some input, but that is going to work across the board. So they one thing in there might work for one student, but there's something in there that will work for a student who has a completely different need. And so in that space, what we've also concentrated on to build capacity for students to be connected to the school is built our communication supports. And that's through and range of different communication devices being available for students so that they can find the one that best suits them and then be able to utilize that to really communicate. So in all the spaces I'm talking about, whilst we have Pod and Prolo and a few other things that we use, adaptive communication devices and switches, we also have communication boards which are tailor-made for every single learning area and environment in our school so that students can communicate with each other, they can communicate with staff, and they can feel that they have a voice in every single area. And that has really, supported from a resourcing point of view, what's happening for our students across the school.
I've seen those there, some of those like communication devices in action, and some of the students who may not use their voice or be verbal, they were able to communicate like very confidently, and you could see in their voice like they could contribute, and it was so amazing. I could read what they were saying on the board, and it was fantastic. And yeah, it was such a good thing to see, because I didn't realize what it was for, and then started typing, and oh, that's excellent, love it.
Absolutely. And they've got some amazing things to say, and they make us laugh every single day, I think, Ash. Like there's always a comment or just so proud of them when they can utilize a communication device that supports them, but it's done in a multimodal way. And eventually we start to get from some of them that verbal language come in conjunction with that communication system, whether it be keyword sign or pod or Prolo. And it's really exciting to see that develop. And it's when you talk about well-being, to build a non-verbal student's capacity to communicate and for somebody to understand what they're saying, that is there's no words to put on the amount of support for their own well-being that then starts to create and build.
Yeah, absolutely. What comes to mind, it makes people feel like they belong, doesn't it? Like they're part of it. They're not sort of feel left out. They're like everyone else. They just communicate in a slightly different way. But yeah, I've definitely seen that in or saw that in action. It's
Yeah, and they have a
got it.
voice and they're understood. And then that can only build their confidence to start connecting with peers and connecting with others as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the staff, I know like the staff are fantastic at the school. How do you, I guess they would have good days and there would be some challenging days as well, like for yourself as the principal, to say, I think that's fair to
Yes,
say.
there can be some challenging days. Yes.
How do you I guess how do the student the staff how, is there anything, I guess, as a whole group you talk about and how they can support their own well-being? Because I think it's really important for humans, like in schools, in the workplace, that we do take ownership of our own well-being and having our own strategies that work for us. Do you guys talk about any of those things that could be helpful if they are having a challenging day?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, look, the Department for Education is, we have a performance development process, and it includes a section around my well-being, and that's for every single staff member. And so that's been fantastic over the last few years because it's really opened up that conversation, as a leader that I can then have, actively with my staff, to make sure they're checking in on their own well-being. The other thing, you know, again, we've consistently tried to build some well-being within what we do as a staff, and my social committee organises well-being afternoon teas, and so we have two of them every single term, and that's a kind of a mandatory thing that we do that everybody comes to, and it's during a short period of paid work time, and it is a chance for staff to come together, to connect, to debrief, to talk about the day, and to really support each other. Because one of the things, you know, working in a special school at times, we've got, you know, staff working in reception, staff working with year 12 senior students, and they won't see each other in the day unless they have a lunch break together, and everybody is on duty either at recess or lunch every day. So it can feel at times quite, you know, disconnected in the day, and that awareness of what's going on, you know, what's going on in a junior primary classroom looks very, very different to what's going on in our senior classrooms. And so that's been a really great way of connecting the staff together consistently to have that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And this is probably slightly different, off track a little bit, but with the particularly the older students, with like for example PE, maybe some specialist subjects, do they stay with their classroom teacher for that, or do they go off and do PE specialist lessons with a PE teacher?
Yeah, we have specialist teachers at school, and they do a myriad of different teaching and learning in different curriculum areas, and it's dependent in negotiation a lot of the time with our teachers as to what they're going to teach. And we've got some amazing specialist teachers because some of them teach across the school, and so they have to be really diverse in what they're doing and how they're presenting that teaching and learning to our students, and just as our classroom teachers do as well, because of the learning capacity of some of our students. And so we've got a one of our teachers is taking some HPE, doing a bit of digital technology. I've got student t specialist teachers teaching HASS. Some of them are doing like communication based and sensory based subjects. So it just really, you know, is very fluid and dependent on what the students' needs are and what the classroom teachers are needing that support in as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's fantastic. And I think it's good, like, for students to have that variety of teacher as well. I know they have support in their classroom through support teachers, but also having those different teachers is always a good thing, probably for the teacher as well, to give each other a bit of a
Yeah.
break and like a bit of a,
It
yeah.
teaches that flexibility, it teaches resilience, it teaches getting you know, getting to know and understand how other people work. But also for us, it helps with transitions as well. A lot of the time, we like to encourage our teaching staff to make sure that our students are transitioning in and out of the classroom, doing different subjects. We're also really lucky at the moment because we've got some amazing SSO staff in general, but we've also got some that support in some specialist areas. So we have an SSO staff that supports in drama and runs a drama program. We've got some that run dance programs, and we've got our young leaders programs supported by both teaching and SSO staff as well. So we've got some really great other curriculum areas being taught and supported by some really skilled SSO staff as well.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, because I've never, when I've been at the school, normally we do it like in a like a hall or outside. And honestly, sometimes you wouldn't be able to tell who the actual like teacher is, because the SSOs are so good, like at supporting the students as well. So
Absolutely.
you wouldn't know unless you knew. Kind of.
Yeah, and it comes back down to those relationships that you're talking about before, Ash. Like they know the students just as well as our teaching staff do, which is fantastic and just provides, that next level of support for our students to be successful.
I'm keen to know, is there like a, I mean, it could be anything really, like a story of a maybe student who has overcome some really big challenges and then come out the other end thriving after going through the school. Is there anything that stands out for you of a story? Whether
Oh wow. Yeah, we've probably got a few to be honest with you, Ash. I think a lot of that we see on graduation day for our year 12 students when we have presentation day at the end of it every year and our whole school is involved in presentation day. Our students come up and they get an award for what they've achieved throughout the year, and it gets given to them by one of their teachers. And then for our students who are graduating, we do a bit of a special kudos to them for all of their hard work. And some of them have been at the school for, perhaps 5 or 6 years, only for their secondary schooling, and some of them have been at the school since they were in reception, and for their whole of their schooling. And we've had students that have left with running their own businesses and supported throughout the school and throughout particularly their last years of schooling in being able to build the skills and ability to do those sorts of things. But again, it's hard because that's also the hard work of every single person that's been affiliated with that student since they've been at school. And yeah, so I think we've probably got many, many stories around that level of success, but that doesn't overshadow the student who was able to work their way from reception through the whole school, and they were able to stand up at presentation day with their peers and get their award. And our pride of a person who, or a student who has really struggled getting it up in front of a crowd and wouldn't normally be involved in anything like that, for them to be able to do that on presentation day is just as successful. To know that the expectations are there, that they are then feel supported enough by all of the staff to be able to step outside of their comfort zone, and be acknowledged in that way, that in itself is a massive achievement. And I think
Absolutely.
it comes down to them feeling comfortable and confident, knowing that they are supported there no matter what.
Definitely. And I guess just to, I guess, go back to the right back to the beginning when you mentioned about how a student with becomes or comes to Riverland Special School. Have you got students who start at a mainstream school and then transition into the Riverland Special School? Has that
Yes.
happened? Yep, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Is that
Yeah,
the
we
main
do at
way?
times.
Yep.
Say that again, sorry.
I was going to say, is that the main way that students come, or do they often start at reception?
Sometimes it often happens at transition time. So preschool into reception is a key transition point for students. And then year six into year seven, obviously into second primary to secondary school, is a key transition point as well. However, in saying that, there are students that transfer into the area that have previously attended special schools, whether it be in SA or interstate, that would be potentially eligible and might transition in that are not at one of those transition points. And again, there are students in mainstream schools that they have their assessment done and they are deemed as eligible, and so they might transition from year two or year three or year four, or even year eight or year nine. So it just really depends on what the family's wanting in regards to the education of their child.
Yeah, that excuse me, that makes sense. From because you've been in mainstream schools as well as special schools, and I know that occasionally it will come up in a particularly mainstream school where a student could be eligible to go to a special school, but the family really wants them to stay in mainstream schools.
Yeah.
So how do I guess with that situation with the mainstream schools, how do mainstream schools really support those students who do want to remain and their parents want to remain, which is totally great. How do they support them in the mainstream school environment?
As much as they can, in the same ways that we support our young people as well. I think they reach out for that additional support, whether it be through support services or, I do get phone calls from peer principals in reaching out and seeking advice and support in regards to the best way of making sure that students are engaged and included in the mainstream schools and education. I think absolutely. I'm all for families being able to make an informed choice about their
Definitely.
child's education and their child's schooling. And we, particularly in the Riverland area, being the only special school, I'm always more than happy to provide any support to any family who has a young person with a disability, in any way that we possibly can. Whether they're attending the Riverland Special School or they're attending any other school in the area, because I think it's really important for our community to provide that outreach. And last week, we actually had our we had a disability expo here at school where we invited a number of service providers, and we had 30 service providers this year come along, and we had about 120 community members come to seek information and support from those service providers, and that's always something that we endeavor to be able to do, to be that place of information and support for the Riverland community particularly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess just one final question with how would you what advice would you give to like a teacher, whether they're a young like starting out, this is at a mainstream school, maybe they have a student or two with additional needs. How would you, what advice would you give them, and how would I guess they the best practice about include make sure they're included? I mean, it's a pretty broad question, I know, but is there anything that sort of I guess a non-negotiable?
Look, I think for me, my expectations of our staff is that we give unconditional positive regard to every single student,
Yeah, love that.
that we support them as best we can in every area, and if we're having trouble or we need more information, then we seek out that information as best we can to support that young person. And whether that's engaging with external support providers who might be providing support for that young person, like a psychologist or an occupational therapist or a speech therapist, it's really important to reach widely and gather as much information as you can. To make sure that you have a holistic understanding of that child's needs. And then it's about doing the best you can to provide that routine and structure for that child so that they can be successful in their endeavors. And it is about making sure that you are always providing that level of support that they need and that differentiation of tasks. And sometimes that's not that easy. Sometimes our young people, make education hard, and that's our young people with disabilities and our young people that do not have disabilities. They make being a teacher hard. But at the same time, it's the most rewarding job to be able to see the growth and development in a young person, and to be able to know that you had a hand in making sure that they are successful in life. And that's ultimately what we're here for.
Absolutely love that. Yeah, that's a really good response. And I'm just picturing like now, like at the end of the year, particularly just at the Riverland Special School, that'll be an amazing presentation, and yeah, it'll be something to definitely look forward to. And I'm sure it takes a lot of work to get there, and a lot of organising. But I reckon the parents' faces, the students' faces, the teachers, yourself, it would be certainly an amazing time.
Yeah, it's definitely a day here of celebrating ability and celebrating the ability of each and every one of our students. And we definitely yes, it's a lot of planning, but and it's an exhausting day, but it's always one of the best days in our calendar.
Absolutely. Well, Natalie, really appreciate your insights. You shared a lot of valuable information, some great takeaways, and I'm sure that a lot of listeners will take away a lot of things. And I certainly have. I learned a lot, and really appreciate your time and sharing your knowledge.
Thank you so much, Ash. I really appreciate your time as well. And you are welcome anytime, even a presentation day if you'd like.
I'll definitely keep that in mind because I reckon it'll be a fantastic day to come to.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Natalie.
Thanks, Ash.